Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a legislative update from St. Paul and visit our Blue Star Mothers about an upcoming event. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
We refer to the days between the end of winter and the beginning of fall as the 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upwards. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, or even an office picnic softball game, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we're not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seat belts, and life vests. None of these work if you don't use them. So please, make use of your safety equipment. Please, be safe and be smart as you enjoy everything the warmer weather has to offer.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to get a legislative update from several of our elected officials over in St. Paul today. And joining me now is Representative Rob Eklund, who is from House District 3A up in International Falls. And Representative Eklund, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Representative, this time of year, you and your colleagues, both parties, busy over at the Capitol, and I've been over there and testified on some committees, a lot of committee hearings, a lot of long hours. You've been putting in a lot of time. How's it going?
Well, I think it's going good. You know, Speaker Hortman and Majority Leader Gazelka set some giant targets to get things done, and last night, the Senate wrapped up the last of their bills, and we've got all our omnibus finance bills wrapped up. Conference committees are named, and some of the conference committees are starting to meet tomorrow.
So you're making some progress coming down towards the end to be able to get some things done.
It appears that way. I'm very hopeful. Ask me again on May 20th.
Yes, sir. Sir, we want to talk about some veterans issues today, and the first one up is what is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act, and why is that important to the men and women who have served this country and are now struggling with the transition to life as a private citizen?
Well, you know, the Veterans Restorative Justice Act is a piece of legislation that will help establish veterans courts if counties are able to do it. And what a veterans court, I don't know if most of listeners are used or know what the drug and alcohol courts are all about, but what they are is they're a diversionary court process where if a person gets into some trouble with the law, they can maybe have their sentences expunged or taken care of as long as they go through the counseling and the treatment and things that they need to learn how to function in society. And it's my view on this, you know, if we can send our young people on countless countless deployments overseas, and we need to be able to take care of them when they come back, and we just don't fight wars like we used to. One of the gentlemen that testified on this bill, he had done like 13 deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq. He was a special forces soldier, and then when he started having some issues, he got a medical discharge, and all of a sudden he went from being a full-time professional soldier to having to live in his hometown, and he wasn't quite ready for it, and he had some PTSD issues and other things that caused some issues in functioning in society. And he was able to get into a veterans court. He was able to get his life straightened around. His wife and his son are reunited. The family unit is back together, and he's on a journey to a law degree. So we can be successful, and we got to use all the tricks we have available to help these folks out. And I think this is just one of them that's going to be a tremendous benefit to our servicemen and women when they're trying to get back into the civilian world
And Representative, I think it's important to point out that the Veterans Court's just given an alternative path. It's not a free pass. They've got to earn it. They've got to work hard in order to get through this. And it just gives them a chance to move on with their life. And we've got to move on with the interview. We're running out of time, sir, but I understand you've got some
time already. Sorry.
You know, that's all right. I should have pointed out we were talking to a former, or still, once a Marine, always a Marine, and you wanted to cover the subject. But I understand there's some core program funding increase to try to get to functional zero for veterans homeless population.
Yeah, and that's another one. That's been one of my passions since I've been in the legislature working on this. We, you know, mental health and homelessness go together, and this is a terrific program to help with both those two issues and get people off the street. And we can reach zero for veterans homelessness. It's a goal that Minnesota can meet, and this is one of the programs that will help do that.
Very good, sir. We're speaking to Representative Rob Eklund on Minnesota Military Radio. And the third thing I wanted to touch on, I wasn't aware of this, but there's an expansion coming for the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport's Armed Forces Service Center, and you've been working on that to try to help out. That's an independent foundation. It's not part of the USO, and every dollar they get is very important.
Yeah, it is, and they came to us. They've got this expansion. The Minneapolis Airport gave them some new space with the expansion out there. And they'll actually be inside of the security zone now, so when our service men and women are traveling, they can clear security, and then it'll provide a place where they can relax, maybe get a snack, take a nap if they need to, and that sort of thing. And so we're helping them out with some furniture and some bunks and stuff like that to make a real home environment for our servicemen and women. And I think is the coolest thing about this is this is run entirely by volunteers. And it's a tribute to our state that we have the citizens out there that are willing to do this. And every dollar is raised locally. I was glad that we had the money available to make this grant for them.
And they've been out there for decades. You and I both took advantage of that when we were traveling through there in the 70s while we were in the service.
Yeah, airport travel wasn't the same as it is now, that's for sure. It was sure a nice place to be able to lay down and sit down and take a rest and relax.
Representative Eklund, we've only got about a minute left. Are there other veterans issues that you're working on over on the Hill this year?
Well, we did a Medal of Honor memorial that we're going to finish building on the Capitol Square. It's going to be nice. We appropriated some money for that, and then we appropriated some money for or didn't appropriate money, but we made some changes where county veteran service officers and the auditors can talk about data issues as far as some of the homestead exclusions that veterans have coming from our state tax system. So we cleaned up some things in policy I'm real proud to chair that committee, and I think we've brought forward a really good veterans bill.
Well, Representative, I want to thank you for joining us today and urge you to keep up the good work on behalf of our service members, veterans, and their families.
It's my pleasure. We owe it to them.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day.
That was Representative Rob Eklund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Senator Anderson and Senator Lang and see what the other side of the State Hill is up to for veterans this legislative session. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to continue our veterans legislative update from St. Paul with two senators that are on the phone to talk to us today, Senator Bruce Anderson and Senator Andrew Lang. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Yep, very much so.
Gents, I know that up till this point in the year that your days are filled with committee meetings and all kinds of people over there talking to you about things they want done, and I'm not sure the press covers the fact that you put in some long days and you study a lot of topics, and there's a lot of things to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We've had this week, and especially we've had several late evenings and early mornings here on the Senate floor. I know Senator Anderson and myself have been pushing pretty hard on some of the vets issues, along with some of the House members. We have fairly common goals between our two committees, and yeah. You know, I'm the vice chair on vets, and I appreciate, you know, Senator Anderson giving me the chance to do that. And you know, just like in the real world, Senator Anderson, a senior enlisted man, and being followed by an officer, is nothing new.
Well, gentlemen, they tell me that every good officer has a great NCO at his, at his side, helping him stick to business.
You bet. And I have a daughter that's an E-9 enlisted Air Force sergeant, so I now have to respect her, too.
Glad to hear it. I was in the Air Force, Senator. So, well, we got about 3 weeks left in the session. Can you tell us about some initiatives that are moving through the legislative process on veterans issues?
Well, you know, there's been, of course, there's been a long list of what we've been working on committees for through the first few months of session. But some of the stuff that, as I've been looking through the list of what we have been working on, things that popped up were the CORE program. It's sponsored by Lutheran Social Services. And really what it's been doing is helping us help vets through things like mental health counseling, some financial services, and some of the addiction problems that we see. And then I think you had mentioned it earlier, Tom, prior to the interview here, but we did put $100,000 into the Armed Forces Service Center at MSP, and I think that was a pretty big step for us. You know, they talked about redoing that, and I think I used the word oasis, and anybody that's been traveling through the airport in Minneapolis has experienced that as a service member, that it is nice to have that little area where we can go into retreat. So,
Senator, I think most people mistakenly think that's part of the USO, and it's not. It's an independent charity.
It is.
That relies heavily on volunteers to provide respite for our service members traveling through the airport, and I understand they're moving it to the inside security to make it a little easier for veterans right. passing through town to use that service.
For sure.
Well, we also have, Tom, a bill was passed for county veteran service officers and county assessors to share information to determine the eligibility for disabled veterans' homestead exclusion. And that was Senator Jasinski, who's a veteran himself. And we're glad that we got that through and into the tax bill. And, of course, Senator Lang, I should let him just talk about his bill, too.
Yeah, I have. This is an issue that we've been working on. Actually, I've only been in the legislature 3 years, and since I've been here, we keep kind of picking away at the veterans' homestead tax exclusion. You know, we upped the value in years past, and we've extended the time frame for a spouse of a deceased military service member. And what we did this year is we just removed the 8-year cap on time. So, and.
I salute you for that, Senator, because when a veteran dies and they've had a little break on their real estate taxes, the spouse doesn't get an increase in pay. And for the spouse to have to pay an increase to the real estate tax, that just wasn't right. So thank you.
Right. And that is actually, as far as I'm concerned, as far as we've talked about within the committee, is that's kind of the antithesis of what we think that bill and what that opportunity should be. So hopefully... We will leave the tax committee alone on that particular issue and move on, and hopefully it serves a lot of deceased spouses. Homestead is what they're working on. So
we're visiting with Senator Bruce Anderson and Senator Andrew Lang on Minnesota Military Radio. Gentlemen, every year I think you have to deal with budgets for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, and I understand the Senate passed the 2-year government budget to cover those.
We did. We did. We passed it off the floor. Was that last week, Bruce, I believe?
Just last week.
Man, all my days are blurring together. So,
yeah, the bill that came through, we were very happy with what we had to see, and we were able to work with our executive members and our finance chair, and we were able to meet the challenges that we had in our bill to basically fund most of the line items that were presented in our bill. So we're very happy with what we got going forward, and I think we should have a pretty good committee coming together on state government, a conference committee to iron out all the extra little nitty-gritty things that might happen. But for the most part, we are very happy with the way that our bill turned out financially.
Senator Anderson, can you just talk about that process for a second? The House will pass the bill, the Senate will pass the bill, then it goes to conference committee, then does it come back out and have to be reapproved?
That's correct. We are right now appointing conferees for the State Government and Veterans Affairs House bill and the Senate Veterans and State Government bill. So there'll be 5 conferees for each, the House and the Senate. We'll come together, we'll work out the details in both areas, State Government and Veterans and Military Affairs, and then we'll come back with a bill that has to be presented back to the House and to the Senate to get the final okay by the members of both the House and Senate, and then goes on to the governor.
And only 3 weeks left.
Right. And I think Senator Anderson, in the 30 seconds he took to explain that, I don't think he probably talked about exactly what that means, but every senator and House member gets a three-ring binder that's probably 5 inches thick of what we call same or similars. And as we go through the two different bills, we have them side by side, and you kind of do the checkbox and what we can agree with initially, and then what the things we're going to have to hash out. So it's a long process, but you're right that it is the way we do things here in Minnesota, and it works out well.
Sometimes sausage making isn't so pretty, but sometimes it is.
Well, gentlemen, we're hoping and praying that you can get together with both sides of the Democrats and Republicans and pass some good bills for us. I know it takes time and it takes a lot of effort, so hang in there.
We appreciate your prayers.
Hang in there, sir. Gentlemen, last year, the Senate, I believe, passed or state legislature approved three new veterans homes, one in Preston, one in Montevideo, and one in Bemidji. The homes will support about 200 beds for Minnesota veterans. And I understand that there's still some work left to make that a reality. Can you explain what's left to do?
Well, so let me first say that is, I think people kind of underestimate the importance and the significance of what those three vets homes, you know, signify. And it's a pretty amazing story. You know, Montevideo is in my district. This is Senator Lang. And I tell you what, there's an old retired warrant officer out in Western Minnesota that's been working on this for 11 years, trying to get that home built. And we, as far as the state is concerned, have gotten that across the finish line. It's what we bonded for it last year, bonded for the three homes. And what that really did is committed to a third of the operational and building costs. The other two-thirds comes, of course, from the federal government. We are, as of right now, waiting on word from the feds what they're going to do as far as funding goes. I, as of right now, have expected that word to come out. It has not. Now we've gotten into May, and I think... You know, Senator Anderson and myself are probably going to be start making some calls. And hey, what have you heard anything from the feds yet on this topic? Or you know, because we have a state agency that's ready to break ground. You know, coming this fall, I believe was the date that we have put forward. I'm looking forward to it. We're still waiting on the feds. So.
Yeah, exactly. And we do have a resolution that Senator Eichhorn from the Bemidji area brought forward to the Senate to encourage Congress, encourage our congressmen and our U.S. senators to go back to the bodies in which they represent and represent us in Minnesota, in Washington, to encourage funding of these three vets homes so that we can break that ground and make this thing happen. And in a matter of 3-4 years, we're up and running.
Gentlemen, as I understand it, we're trying to solve two problems here. Number one, there's a waiting list for veterans to get into the existing homes. And number two, if we can get these three new homes built, we can keep some veterans closer to home so that their families can come visit them.
Yeah, that's, you know, we kind of walk a fine line with this because we house through veterans' homes such a small portion of eligible veterans that could possibly go into a care facility and be funded through the VA. So we do have a kind of a tight line to walk, Senator Anderson and myself, as far as funding and exactly where these beds are going to go. Are we going to compete with those in the private sector? You know, that's never really the intent of the Minnesota legislature or the federal government, for that matter, is to compete directly with, you know, homes, civilian homes. But, yeah, we have a limited number that we're serving. You're right, the waiting list is quite long. And, you know, in our areas, in Bemidji, in Preston, and in Montevideo, there was no service. So I believe that this is a pretty substantial step, and I'm proud to have the issue on our plate about
exactly
how many openings we're going to have. So that's going to be pretty neat.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it, and I'm happy under our watch.
Thank you, Senator Lang. Senator Anderson, we've got about 30 seconds left. Are there things, your veterans issues, you're working on in the future?
Well, we've always got many opportunities, and there's many people that come from all different parts of the state asking for help in getting things done. We would like to see many other things happen, But we take it as it comes. And so to say I've got them right on my plate right now, I've got them in a file folder back in my office, but I don't have them right in front of me. And we kind of take it a day at a time, because sometimes that's all we get is a day at a time to make things happen. And sometimes it happens within hours. I've seen, because I've been in the legislature so long, things have happened within 20 minutes of seeing a bill fall apart and then put back together. And so we're looking at vets issues, and I think everybody, I think on both sides of the aisle, think that vets issues are very important. And for the most part, we don't have very, very much disagreement on those issues. Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, it's a long session for you over there, long days. I've been there and seen it. So have another cup of coffee, dive back into the fray, and keep up the good work. And thanks for taking care of our veterans' issues.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Senator Bruce Anderson and Senator Andrew Lang from the St. Paul on a legislative update. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear from our Blue Star Mothers about an upcoming event here in the Twin Cities. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with two of our Blue Star Moms about an upcoming event and all about their organization. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
I'd like to take a moment to recognize a particular group of personnel we have here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the nursing staff at our veterans' homes. National Nurses Week is celebrated each year from May 6th through 12th in recognition and the celebration of nurses in our community. Nurses at our five state veterans' homes work incredibly hard to provide quality health care to our residents. For that, we cannot say thank you enough. The dedication and hard work of every staff member at each of our homes does not go unnoticed, and no doubt enhances the quality of life of our residents. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have two very special guests in the studio today from Blue Star Mothers of America, and they are Jeannie Elmer and Carla Keller. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Jeannie, I want to start with you. I know you're way younger than I am, but you joined the Women's Army Corps sometime after high school.
Yes, I did. I went to tech school for a year and then wanted to do something more exciting than going back home. And so I joined the Women's Army Corps. I was stationed, did my basic training at Fort McClellan, Alabama. Went to AIT at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and then I was stationed at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and then I reenlisted and went to Augsburg, Germany.
You reenlisted. You must have really liked it.
I did. I actually very much enjoyed my time in the military.
And how was Germany?
Beautiful. Got a chance to do some traveling and see a beautiful part of the world.
And somewhere in there or after that, you must have met a man, got married, and had some children.
I did. I met my husband while I was stationed in Germany. We got married about 6 months or so after we both got out of the service, and have two children and five grandchildren. And my son is my military child. He joined the Army when he was 19, and he served until 2010. He had two deployments, one to Afghanistan, and then one to Iraq. He was stationed with the 25th Infantry Division out of Schofield Barracks in Hawaii.
Okay, and Carla, I want to come to you. You did not serve in the military, but you are married and have two sons and a daughter, and at least one of them serves in the military. Is that right?
That is correct. I have an Army veteran, combat veteran son.
And can you tell us about him? Where did he serve? And
Brett is my oldest, and he went to basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, and then went to Fort Carson in Colorado and spent the next 6 years there. He had two deployments to Iraq. The first one was the toughest. That was a 16 months, and the second one was a year.
And because you're both moms and you both had children who served in the military, you're something that we refer to as Blue Star Mothers. Jeannie, can you tell us about that organization and what that means?
Absolutely. Blue Star Mothers is an organization that supports moms. A lot of us, especially here in Minnesota, we don't have active duty military bases. So as moms, we don't really get a whole lot of information about what's going on with our children when they are serving in the military. So it's a support group that is for us moms who need to have some kind of help with getting through deployments and our children's military service. We also do community events. We do fundraisers. We support different veterans organizations. And we do care packages. We're kind of famous for care packages. We send hundreds of care packages to our service members that are deployed and some that are stationed stateside also. We don't want to forget them.
There's a big surprise. Moms would send care packages to their sons. I even got one in Vietnam when I was over there, and it was a wonderful day when it happened. So
it does.
Being a Blue Star mom and being part of that organization is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's been the best thing that I found when my child was in the military and getting ready to deploy for his second time was to find this organization and to find moms that were going through the same thing, that had the same fears, and to have that support and have somebody else to talk to and a mom who got it, that was, you know, what you were going through with your child being gone
to a war zone. How tough was it when your son was deployed to Afghanistan and then Iraq?
Very. The first deployment when he was in Afghanistan, I didn't know another mom any place that had a child who was currently overseas serving in a war zone. Didn't have any friends that had that connection or anything like that. So it was a really tough year.
All alone that year.
Yep. And then so when he was getting ready for a second deployment, there was an article in the Star Tribune that said there was a Blue Star Mother chapter that was going to start up in the metro area. And there was a phone number and a name. And I picked up my phone that afternoon and I called that number and spoke to the lady on the other end. Didn't know her. And I was on the phone with her for almost an hour just talking about our kids and what we were going through. And I knew then that this was an organization I wanted to be part of.
We're speaking with our Blue Star moms on Minnesota Military Radio. Carla, I want to come to you. How tough was it when your son was deployed twice?
It was very difficult. The first one was the worst. He left the day after Thanksgiving in 2007, and he didn't come back until February of 2009.
Now, at that time, were you able to communicate with him at all while he was deployed?
He was lucky. He was an infantry, 4th Infantry Division out of Fort Carson, and he was outsourced to different units that needed the support.
So he had access to some technology.
So he had his own phone that we would get to talk to him every 2 weeks or so. We knew if we didn't hear from him that bad things were going on. And his second deployment, he was training the Iraqi military over there.
And at what point in all this process did you join the Blue Star Moms?
It was after his first deployment. I'm actually divorced and had two younger, he had two younger siblings at home. And so we depended on each other. And once I joined the Blue Star Moms, my daughter is actually an associate member. We've got Blue Star Moms, our membership is anybody who serves as the role of the mother, whether it's a grandmother or a foster mother, and associates are aunts, uncles, any other relatives that want to be part of our organization.
So you do a lot of great things as an organization, but you're also a support group.
Support to each other, yep, to our other family members and to our families of our fallen.
And Jeannie, being Blue Star Mom sounds like something that you found that second deployment probably helped you. You're smiling.
Absolutely. It was the best. I've been a member of Blue Star Mothers now for 13 years, and I can't imagine what my life would have been like during that deployment, during the rest of his military service, and after all of that, because just because your child comes home or gets out of the service does not mean you don't still need that support from other moms, because your children, again, go through some issues and have a difficult time readjusting to the civilian life. You still need that support from the other moms.
And Carla, unfortunately, sometimes a Blue Star Mom becomes a Gold Star Mom. Can you explain that to us?
Unfortunately, yes. The families of our fallen, once they have passed away in combat or back home for certain situations, they become a Gold Star mom. And we support them. We hold events for them. I've always said, there but for the grace of God go I. It could have easily been my child from the stories that I've heard from him and his battle buddies. You know, we want to be there for them. We were the lucky ones that got our kids back, and they didn't.
And all three of us in the studio today had an opportunity to support our Gold Star moms at Scoop for the Troops last Sunday.
Yeah.
It was kind of a fun event and some really brave, strong moms.
Yes, absolutely.
Extraordinary.
And so, Jeannie, I know you were out there, and a guy you didn't even know scooped some ice cream for you, Neil Freeman from Bob FM.
Apparently so. I did not know that. I listened to him on the radio, but I did not know that that was who was scooping my ice cream.
And you missed me. I was standing right next to him.
I did.
Okay. Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk about the 77th Annual National Convention that's going to be held in Bloomington this summer. We're talking to our Blue Star moms on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with our Blue Star mothers, Jeannie Elmer and Carla Keller, here on Minnesota Military Radio. And we've learned, Jeannie, that the Blue Star Mothers, a great organization, do a lot of events, a lot of affairs, and it's a great support group for moms who have children serving in the military. Is that right?
That's partially correct. Part of it, too, is that your child doesn't have to be actively serving. They can also be veterans. You just have to be honorably discharged veterans. Moms who have children like that also can be part of our organization. So both active duty children and children who are veterans.
So those who are serving or
have served. Correct.
And once you're a member of that organization, you're in for good.
Every year you have to renew your membership, but yes.
Just like you being a veteran, you can't get out of that.
You don't get out of that. No. Nope. Okay. And we have 7 chapters in Minnesota with about 177 members, both moms and then associate members who can, again, like Carla was saying earlier, that can be dads, siblings, grandparents, et cetera. Nationwide, we have chapters in 38 states and a little over 5,000 members and associates nationwide.
And Carla, your website for more information?
It's bluestarmothers.org.
Bluestarmothers.org, and there's going to be some information there on an event that we want to talk about. You have a national convention coming to Minneapolis, coming to Bloomington.
For the first time ever in the 77 years, we are going to be hosting it, this summer.
Can you tell us what you're expecting to happen?
We have nationwide, the moms that want to come and participate in the convention this year, we're expecting about 225 moms to be here. And we start out with our national president. We have a reception for her, and then we end on a banquet on a Saturday night. And it's from July 30th to August 3rd. So we go that first week, and we hope for good weather. We told them that the snow would be gone by the time we had convention. So I think we're going to be able to
stick with that.
Yeah.
So 5 days of fun for the Gold Star moms.
5 days of fun, educational sessions that we have. We have an annual memorial service that we are going to do at the Fort Snelling Chapel. And our opening ceremony is going to be with a Native American honor guard.
Very good.
So all about Minnesota.
Now, Jeannie, you're looking for volunteers. You're looking for new members. You're looking for more moms to join?
Oh, we always are looking for more moms to join. You do have to be a member in good standing to attend the national convention. We have, like I said, we have 7 chapters, but there certainly are areas of the state that do not have a Blue Star Mother chapter. And again, if anybody is interested in starting a chapter, again, go to our website, and there's information on there about starting a chapter. And it only takes 5 moms to start a chapter.
So bluestarmothers.org.
Correct.
Now, is there still time to join and go to the convention?
Yes. Yep. You certainly can. And also the registration for convention is open until July 15th.
They're looking at each other, but we have confirmation. It's open until July 15th,
yes.
Are both of you going to the convention?
Absolutely. Yeah. We actually are co-chairs of the convention committee. So we've been quite involved in getting things going, set up, making arrangements for the different activities and stuff that will be going on, getting speakers, et cetera.
They're going to be here for like 4 or 5 days, I'm hearing. So what kind of activities are you going to have?
Well, people can come actually early, and we suspect a lot of them will be going to the Mall of America because...
Shopping. Think of that.
But we're hoping that we can come up with a list of a lot of other activities that they can go and do. Again, we got lots of theater. We've got zoo, arboretum, things that Minnesota can show off for the summer for our guests.
So any special activities for you, Carla?
I'm looking for, we're having fun nights. We have a couple free nights that we've never had before. This year is a little different than any other convention they've ever had. We want to do special touches. It's not all planned out minute by minute. We've got our convention during the day. We've got our learning sessions during the day. But we want to show off our state. We want to have fun. And we want to show everybody that comes here that, you know, Minnesota nice. And we've learned through previous conventions, you know, we are different. We are Minnesota nice, and there's no question about it. And we want to show it off.
So for all our listeners, be prepared. There's going to be hundreds of Blue Star Moms in Bloomington for this convention. We've just got about a minute left. Information is at bluestarmothers.org. Can you give us just a quick summary of the convention again?
We start out with opening ceremonies on the 3rd or on the 4th. 30th. Sorry, Tuesday the 30th. And then we've got our educations. We've got everything through our elections. We do national elections annually, and that'll be on Saturday during the day. And then we end with our big banquet Saturday night.
So the dates again are July 30th?
July 30th to August 3rd.
All right. And the ladies are going to be in town, so everybody get prepared. And for all your Blue Star Moms out there that haven't joined that organization, go to bluestarmothers.org, sign up. Get to the convention with these two ladies. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. And Jeannie and Carla, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
So Jeannie Elmer and Carla Keller from Blue Star Mothers of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, I think we've safely gotten to the part of the spring where maybe the snow is behind us, but I think that probably means you broke out your two-wheeled vehicle, and it's not talking about a bicycle here, are we?
No, we're not. We're talking about some big scooters.
Big scooters, like, you know, even the bigger ones, the motorcycles. Well, I want you to know I'm still in my cage in my truck, and I'm going to stay there, but... all of our listeners and everybody in Minnesota needs to keep their eye open for people riding motorcycles and give them space, give them room, watch for them, see them.
Yep. And if you see the Patriot Guard out in formation and things like that, that usually means that we're on a mission. We're out escorting somebody, either somebody to their final resting place or soldiers going through or from the field, and we would appreciate it if you gave us a little bit of room because we're kind of focused on honoring those heroes for what they're doing.
And, of course, we really have to watch out for you when you're up doing your Patriot Ride, which is coming up.
Yes. Oh, that'll be another thing. That's a wonderful, wonderful time out there for everyone.
That's going to be at the Anoka County Airport. And do you know the date?
I forgot.
Well, all that information is available where?
Yes. On our website. And at mnpatriotguard.org, you'll go over to the left side. It says Patriot Ride. Click on that. It'll take you right to a page that gives you all the information.
Okay. Now, you've got riders all over the state, and you've got the state broken up into how many regions?
20 sectors.
20 sectors. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and we call them sectors. They're just around a town or some one of the cities.
And if they're asked to come to a funeral, and that's the only way they go, is if the families ask.
We have to be invited.
Then you put out an email to all the riders in that sector and tell them about the event. And you never know how many are going to show up, but they do.
They do. They always show up.
Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone that has a heart for our military and appreciation for what they do.
And it's all about, you have three words in your
Yep. Honor, dignity, and respect.
Honor, dignity, and respect. And if you've never seen the Patriot Guard riders at a funeral, you need to go see it. It's a very emotional sight and very solemn. And the men and women that are the riders that go and do that have earned another little piece on their way into heaven, I think, Tim.
Well, there's a reason that we wear sunglasses. It isn't because it's sunny all day, every day.
Tim, let's have everybody be careful and watch out for those riders this year. And you be careful, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. We have two mentions today. First, the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund is excited to announce its annual appreciation dinner on Thursday, May 16th. This year's keynote speaker will be Minnesota native General Joseph Votel, former commander of the U.S. Central Command. MMAF awards cash grants to say thanks to Minnesota service members. To learn more, visit thankmntroops.org. And second, the 6th Annual Brost Clinic Memorial Day Challenge has a new home this year in Wayzata. Athletes will complete the MRF workout, which includes a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, followed by another 1 mile run. It is named after Navy SEAL Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who was killed while serving in Afghanistan in 2004. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Representative Ron Eklund, Senator Bruce Anderson, and Senator Andrew Lang, Jeannie Ulmer, Carla Keller, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about a special Serving Our Troops mission and visit with Jim Finley about veteran employment. That's coming up this weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.